What's up, KD Time friends? Welcome back to another episode of KD Time, the sometimes weekly but mostly timely podcast for each and every podcast fan. I am your host, KD, and on this podcast series, I bring all kinds of topics to the table, from discussing culture, movies, TV shows, music, sports, food, and of course, general nostalgia. Join in that fun, share, and subscribe wherever you are listening. In this episode, I'm going to be talking with one of my best friends. Her name is Rachel. We're going to talk about her life as a missionary in Africa and what she experienced and some of the things that she loved about it and some of the things that she was like pleasantly surprised about. And I ask her a few questions just to get to know a little bit more about the experience and for my listeners to hear about what it was like for her to be a missionary. It's a lot of fun. And we have a lot of laughs. And because I have a inside scoop that I know of her experience, she was willing to come onto the show and just tell us all about that. And one of the things that makes it a great experience is that if there's someone out there, if you are listening and you'd love to be a missionary, maybe this episode is the right one for you and you can get some clarity into what it would be like for a missionary hearing it from someone who's done it for herself. And I was so grateful for her to come on the show, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Let's get into it. Welcome to KD Time. I have a very special guest with me, and her name is Rachel. She's also one of my best friends in the entire world, and we're going to talk to her a little bit about her life as a missionary and what she's been up to the past few years. You might have remembered her voice from that quick little episode I did for Vacation All I Ever Wanted when we were on a cruise together, which was so much fun. So I'm gonna introduce her and bring her into the fold. Hello, Rachel. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
She's kind of nervous. That's good. That's all right. So, yes, thank you for being on the show. Thanks for coming on KD Time. I'm really excited about this episode, and just hope that the folks, you know, get to learn a little bit more about you. So, tell us about yourself.
Cool. Yeah. So I grew up in Connecticut, and then I moved to New York after college. I taught preschool for about 8 years, and then moved to Africa.
You moved to Africa, just straight out of New York. You were like, peace, y'all. I'm going to Africa.
Well, I have always wanted to go to Africa since I was about 12.
Yeah.
So there was a family at church who came and spoke, and I was like, I could do that. I could totally go live in Africa. I'm going to live in Africa one day. And so so I was like, I'm going to do that, and became super obsessed with Africa. Like, remember when silly bands were a thing?
Yes, I do.
I had an Africa silly band that I refused to take off.
Oh.
So that's how obsessed I was. And then when I moved to New York, I kind of forgot about wanting to live in Africa.
Mm.
And just established myself there. Not New York City, though, New York State.
Yes.
Because there's a difference, as you know.
There's a big difference.
So, yeah, I was like, okay, let me settle myself in New York, bought a house, and then you guys have heard Judith before.
Yep.
So I'm over at Judith's house, our other bestie. And And they're all talking that their cousins are looking for someone to homeschool their family in Cote d'Ivoire or Ivory Coast. And then all of a sudden, all their heads turn to me and they're like, "You could homeschool our cousins." And I'm like, "Where's Ivory Coast?" And they're like, "Africa." And I was like, "I've always wanted to go there." And their response, "Yeah, Rachel, we know." So that started it. That started the whole process. But I didn't end up in Ivory Coast. I ended up in Malawi for about 2 years, and then actually Ivory Coast, but just for 4 months.
Yes, you did end up in Malawi, which was probably the best fit for you, and that's just because I have all my own personal knowledge, folks. We've been talking about this forever, so I'm just really glad to have her on the show so now she can explain a little bit more about her time in Malawi and then of course, Ivory Coast, and what you did out there.
Yeah, so Malawi, I still went to Africa to homeschool. I really felt like that's what I was supposed to be doing. So I feel funny doing hand motions that no one's gonna see.
That's okay.
But in Malawi, I went and I homeschooled for 11 months. A family with three girls. They started off at 2, 4, and 6. And this was just like the year after the pandemic started. And so it was interesting. It was like, well, am I going to be able to make it to Malawi? Who knows? The family was actually in the States. They got stuck in the States as well. So I got to meet them before I left, which was really great. So when I went there, the kids knew me, the parents knew me, and it was like I just fit right in, and the transition went really smooth.
Yes. I remember when Judith and I. Well, I was still in New York at the time because now I live in Connecticut. But I was still in New York at the time, and Judith brought you all the way from Connecticut to get you on the plane, and I met you at the airport, and we were just like, "Oh no, she's leaving!" And it feels like forever. You had like a trunk and so many suitcases, and Judith and I were just kind of like, we're just like, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe we're sending our best friend to Africa right now. This is nuts. It
Oh, it
was
was
insane."
crazy. Yeah, I kept my cool until the airplane took off and then I cried.
Yeah. We went to Judith's sister's house, I think, after that to like eat some dinner and just hang out with the kiddos or the kid because it was only one kid at the time. But
Yeah.
yeah, it was just so emotional. It was like, oh my goodness, our friend is going, and this is we were just happy, but also very sad because it was like the trio of us was sort of not like breaking up, but just like, we're gonna be apart for a little while. We're gonna have to like learn how to do the new dynamics of keeping our friendship and keeping our Snapchat streaks and all that
Right, with
stuff.
a 7-hour time difference.
Yeah. So
But we made it work.
yeah, it was interesting, and now you're back. But so what has or what was maybe the most meaningful experience throughout your missionary trips?
It's so hard. It's I love, I think, the people. Just the different opportunities to go into different villages or work with different nationals there, and kind of by working closely with them or going into their environment, you just learn so much more than if you're with a bunch of missionaries or expats that are not a part of the culture. You kind of stand on the outside and watch, but when you're there and you're with the people, then you're in it. So like in one of my more recent ones was I was in Ivory Coast and we went on a church visit, but because it was 6 hours away, we spent 2 nights. And I went out with the pastor's wife and we went to the market and we bought food together and then we prepared it and we cooked it. And it was just like, I don't speak French, but we could do all these things. And I learned so much and like formed a relationship essentially without any verbal communication.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. I mean, just being a person who's so surrounded by one kind of language all the time, and then submersing yourself into a whole different dynamic, a whole different culture, that's pretty awesome, you know, and to be able to still be able to communicate in ways that, you know, are simple or just like what makes sense. Like everybody can commune over food. Like food is pretty much universal. Like if you know food, then you're good to go. But it's really awesome that you're able to do that and, you know, experience it with people and have fun in that kind of way. So that's cool. Yeah. So the language, you said it was French, but I remember you saying that it's Chichewa. Can you give us a few Chichewa
Right, so
English words?
Malawi is Chichewa,
Yeah.
but also English. So there's like a national and an official language, and I always mix it up.
Okay.
One is English and one is Chichewa. So like documents are in both, which is really helpful when you need to apply for like a permit or something. My favorite, I think I have two favorite words in Chichewa. Kalulu, which I've told you. Do you
Yes.
remember what it means?
I think it doesn't it mean bunny?
It does mean bunny.
I got
Yay. And the other one that I really like is Makalagadea.
Macalacadea, is that pineapple? No.
It's a fruit. You're
Oh
so
my
close.
goodness. Papaya? No.
Passion fruit.
Passion fruit. It was one of the
Papaya is popo.
other peas. Papaya
Yeah. And I know mostly food.
popo.
But then now after being in Ivory Coast for 4 months, I'm
Yeah.
like, oh man, is this French or is this Chichewa? So like I find myself saying banana and avocado in French, banana and avocat versus Chichewa, which I think banana was in Tochi. Yeah. I don't know. It's all my brain is like all a mix of things, and then you go into like a grocery store, and the weirdest thing is like in either country, you'd go into a store and people would be speaking all different languages, and you just like you learn to tune everything out. And then you come back to the States and you're in a store and you're like, I can understand every single word and the music playing. This is very overstimulating.
That's true. I mean, I've been to Africa, I've been to Ethiopia, but majority of the people there spoke English. It was very easy for me to just understand what they were saying. And, you know, I've been to Puerto Rico and Mexico. A funny story. I mean, with Judith, we were going down to visit her sibling, your brother, in Peru, and we were dog tired, but everybody around us was speaking Spanish, and it was just like, what are you guys saying? Like, we're learning Spanish and everything, but we're just like, English?
English,
Anybody
English.
English? So, like, to go to a different country and then live there and have to try and find people that speak English or speak, you know, your language is just
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
it's a lot. And then you come back and it's like, oh yeah, I can understand everything you say. I know what you're talking about. I don't have to do any translations or anything, so that's pretty funny.
Certain countries are definitely more difficult than others. Like in Ivory Coast, you had a hard time finding someone that spoke English, even though Ghana is right next door and it's an English-speaking country. Whereas in Malawi, generally, if you were educated, English was part of your schooling. But then you get to the more rural areas, and it's like no one learned English here at all.
They probably didn't want to at that
Right, and like if you're living in a place where no one visits anyway, what's the point?
point.
And then you go north and it's a whole nother language.
That's true, right? It's a lot all over the place in Africa. So, what would you say was some of the best parts of your mission?
I loved how like I could teach during the day. Like in the morning I would have the girls and I would teach them. And it was a good way to like ease my way into the culture versus just being like thrown in and having to figure everything out. So like I could do the teaching in the morning and then be like, oh, let's go to the market in the afternoon. But what was really great was we were associated with a missions organization. And like there was a mission in Malawi, or it still is there. It's been there for 60 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time. So they do like all sorts of different things, and I would have the opportunity to go there like twice a week and see the different things they do. And then what I really got plugged into was coffee. Coffee
Coffee.
or café if
Cafe.
we're French.
Yes, I remember the coffee stories you would tell us. Could you give us like one of your favorite moments at the coffee shop?
Well, to make it really Western, my favorite moment was when we got an espresso machine hooked up.
Espresso, that's where it's all at. Yeah.
Oh, I was so spoiled. But I was so what's amazing is like we have the farm on the campus, and so you could see the entire coffee process from like tree to when the bean gets picked. Like you could see the plant flowering and then the green bean that turns to this burgundy color and like the science behind it all. And then like so they get picked and then they get pulped. I have a video I'll have to share with you and maybe you can,
Yeah,
I don't
I'll
know,
try and
do
put it on the
whatever.
socials. Yeah, of course.
And like so it goes through this machine that pulps it and then it gets separated and there's all these local workers. And so the like everything except the picking part is done also where we roast. And so we're communicating with the locals who most of them don't speak English. So it's really funny. It's yeah. Luckily, I was working with two guys who are also local and they know English really well, but then obviously they speak Chichewa. And so I'd be like, someone's here and I don't know what they're saying. Can you come translate or can you just come talk to them? And they were really great. They're college kids. So it worked out really well and we just got along. Like some of my best memories in the factory was just us all kind of doing what needed to be done and music blasting and singing and just like we found our groove.
That's great. That's great. That's definitely a memory to keep in the memory bank for sure, for sure. What would you say was probably the worst part of your missions?
The worst part.
Worst parts. So like they could be
Parts,
multiple
yeah.
or just one particular that you're like, oh yeah, that was kind of bad.
Well, like a whole immigration thing, but as it's like typical anyway, like in every country you always run. I'm sure like I mean we've heard stories just here with like family. So you know, if you know, you know. And
Immigration is
then
not fun.
no. But you know, it sorts itself out and that's good. And then I definitely so I got into a car accident in Malawi.
Do you want to talk about that? You don't have to talk
No,
about
well there's
that.
two instances and I'm thinking of one that ended well.
Okay.
Actually, they both ended well. Like yeah. But there
Yes.
was one where I was like turning the volume up on my radio, and then I didn't. You know how, like, you look really fast, and then you look up, and it's like, oh, they're braking. So, like, I slammed on the brakes and I rear-ended someone. But it was nice because we didn't have to involve the police. And the family I was homeschooling, their dad did work with them. And so it was like, yeah, we'll just exchange numbers and sort things out. So, that was a good one. The other one was a bit more traumatizing.
We don't have to talk
We
about
don't have to
that
talk
one.
about
We don't have to
that
talk about Bruno.
one.
Oh, and with driving, that
No.
was pretty interesting because you had to learn how to drive on the opposite side of the road.
That's true. Yeah, so it took me about a week before I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to drive. And so then Justine, that's the mom of the family I was homeschooling. So Justine and I were like, we go out just to the market, which is like less than 5 minutes away, maybe like 2 miles. And so I'm like, okay, I can do it. I'm gonna drive to the market. And going to the market in itself is like, okay, let's see, I'm gonna mentally prepare myself for everyone to talk to me and say, do you want tomatoes? Do you want this? Azungu, azungu, which is like technically foreigner, but it's white person. Yeah. All the little kids, like when you drive through, Azungu Bo, which is like hi, and then they give you a thumbs up, and you just all you have to do is give them a thumbs up back, and they get so excited. They're so cute.
Put your thumbs up. Y'all did it. Put your thumbs up.
It's your way to say hi. But yeah, so the first trip in the car was to the market with Christine, and I don't know if we even bought anything. This was before the like grocery store was built in town. So you had to go to the market or you had to drive an hour south and like stock up on groceries and put them in the freezer. And my first year there, the power was great. So like you could do that and not worry about your food going bad. So luckily I got an automatic car. And so that made the transition not so terrible. But then it was more of like, don't turn right. Like you can't turn right on red, which there's not a lot of traffic lights anyway, unless you go to cities. But I think like when I first went there, I was so like hyper vigilant. And then when I came back to the States, that was the funny part. So I went and I picked up my car. And it was Christmas time. I don't know why, but I went to the dollar store to pick up something. And so my first turn was right, and I was like, great, like turn right, perfect. My next turn was left, and I was like, okay, I'm turning left, right side, right side, right side, right
Yeah, to like
side.
remind yourself so many times that you're in America.
Yeah, but just even the other day, after coming back this time, so in Ivory Coast, they drive on the right side of the road, so like they do in America, but I wasn't driving there often. So I get back to the States and I'm luckily on like a side road that's not very busy, and I'm driving and I'm driving, and this lady's coming and she looks at me like, what are you doing? And I look at her like, what are you doing? And then I'm like, I'm on the wrong side of the road. And I was like, sorry, I didn't mean to look at you that way. Yeah. Thankfully, not a main road. But
Thankfully,
also, like, if it was a main road, then it would have lines painted on it. And then I would have, like, had other cars. This was just like, no one was driving and there's no lines. So, you know, it happens.
Yes, that's pretty funny. Oh my goodness, I do remember you talking about that before when you had first come back, and like, it's just something you have to like regurgitate. Like, oh, okay. Because like for me, like when I whenever I would go to camp, so around this time of year, I would usually be at camp up at Sunshine Acres, and since it's such a bubble, and it's like, oh, I'm in this one area all the time for like 6 weeks, 24/7, and then I come back to the city, and I'm just like, oh, I gotta take the train, I gotta take the bus. How do I tell the bus to stop? I don't know why I would forget after 6 weeks, but you were there for a year and then you came back and you're like, gotta make sure I'm on the right side of the road. Right side of
Right side,
the
right side.
road. It's wild. That's so wild. So I mean, you kind of did a sort of like a humorous kind of story, like a humorous incident involving either the language, like the like you speaking to someone, or maybe something culturally that was kind of funny for you. What was that like?
Let's see. I feel like that one's really difficult because I didn't really go many places by myself for a while. Plus, with it being like I say in air quotes, COVID times,
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
there wasn't really a lot of like different things to happen. And I'm sure there's something that I'm 100% forgetting.
Maybe,
But
I don't know.
yeah. I'm sure like if I asked like the expat friends there, they'd be like, oh yeah, remember that one time? But I mean, I can tell you a funny story like when I did a coffee tour about someone in the UK, if you want to hear it.
Sure, no problem.
Okay. Yeah, so like I had two friends whose birthdays are really close to each other. And so they're like, we want to do a coffee tour.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did this coffee tour and then had a cake. And the FDA food standards are very different in the U.S. versus other countries.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
So I had a friend mail me something.
Mm-hmm.
And so for this cake, I was like, oh, great. I'll make this cake. And then it didn't, the coconut cream frosting I was trying to make didn't stiffen.
Mm-hmm.
So we like drizzled coconut cream on top. And then I was like, well, it will be like a build your own cake.
Yeah.
So we've got different toppings. And one of the guys from the UK is like, are these American sprinkles? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, these are illegal sprinkles. Oh, one of my favorite memories because of the food dye.
Yeah.
It's illegal because of the food dye. Mm-hmm. And he was so excited. He's like, I'm going to use illegal sprinkles.
It's crazy. I've been like, I don't know. My timeline has just been filled with a bunch of foods that is like, oh, America's trying to kill you guys. And we're like, what? No. And they're like, yeah, they have all this stuff hidden in their mm-hmm. products. And like every other country is like, we're not doing that. And I'm just like,
yeah.
I mean, there's one I just saw today where this girl was talking about Canada having, like, first of all, she had a ketchup bottle that had a maple leaf sticker on it. And okay. I was just like, oh my goodness, I've never seen that before. And then the next, she had the other ketchup bottle from the U.S. And she's just like, look, this one has like high fructose corn syrup or whatever. And the Canadian one didn't. And I was, and then she's like, it tastes the same, but. And I was like, ah!
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know you don't even eat condiments, so it doesn't really matter to you, but.
No, but like I was looking for oat milk the other day in the store that was just oats and water. And I'm like, it just all has preservatives in it. So I'm like, why?
But I know, it's wild. I don't understand. I mean, I kind of like think that we should definitely try and start our own like gardens and things, and just to like make sure that we're not relying heavily on mass production, but that's another story for another
day.
Well,
not to scare everyone, but 2030 we're predicted to have a world food shortage.
Yikes.
So yeah, that's why.
That's pretty close, Rachel.
It's close. I know, it's mid-2023 right now. So that's why, like, so to tie back into Malawi and why I know that fact is because I have a friend who is on this island.
Mm-hmm.
And I love going to the island.
Yes, we've heard about the island. My listeners haven't heard about the island. Yeah. But this island, y'all, she talks about it so much.
I like to sing the island life for me instead of a pirate's life for me. And so, yeah, but okay. So like the whole goal of being on this island mm-hmm. is it's a contained, well, not like fully contained. It's like not fenced in or anything, but, the number of people living on this island generally the same. So like, it's easy to measure data.
Mm-hmm.
There's a word that I can't remember right now. and so there's about 4,000 people on this island. And my friend is out there trying to make this island 100% sustainable, because the boat ride back to the mainland, depending on where you're from,
mm-hmm.
can be anywhere between like, I don't know, I think ours is about 45 minutes, but that's like only partway around the island.
Mm-hmm.
So it falls just between Malawi and Mozambique, so you can actually see Mozambique from the island.
And you've been to Mozambique too. Right?
No, my passport has.
What?
Yeah.
Have I heard this story before?
Probably, but we'll just save that for not on the air.
Sure thing. Oh my goodness. So I was thinking and I was remembering, I was like, oh my goodness, when you went, it was definitely COVID time. So like you were still wearing masks and stuff.
Yeah. I like just left America when they were finally like, masks. No, I was leaving America to go to Malawi and masks were not essential. But then it got to be cold season, which is when summer is here. And they're like, masks are required. And there were like police officers in the markets enforcing mask wearing. And then, and then when I left Malawi in December 2021, they were finally like, that's when America had already been like, it's summer, we don't need to wear masks. And then Malawi had finally been like, okay, cold season's over, it's getting hot, so you don't need to wear masks. Then I go back to the States and they're like, masks are required again. And I'm like, I just can't escape it.
That's true. Because we, we had gone, you came back and then we went on the cruise in January. And they were like, okay, if you want to go from place to place or indoors or whatever, you have to have your mask on. But when you're outside, you're okay. And we're just like, that's so silly because we're enclosed in a cruise ship for however many days.
Right. Like, and they test you.
And they tested us before we got on. So I'm like, if we're all tested and we all get on the ship and they're supposed to be enforcing this kind of thing, then we should all be fine. You know?
But, I think their argument was probably we get off at different ports. But, well, only one. We only got off in the Bahamas.
We only got off at the Bahamas. Because
the other two was Castaway Key.
We didn't even have to wear masks there. We were able to take them off.
That's true. And you guys went swimming.
We did go swimming. It was fun.
I went swimming in my wetsuit.
You did go swimming in your wetsuit. I forgot about that.
I went back to the boat for my wetsuit because I am now have African blood.
Yes, you've been there long enough and you're officially African, it feels like. So yeah, of course.
That's what everyone says.
But yeah, it was the whole COVID thing was wild, and then you were off, and then we would talk to you all every day, but we'd make sure we'd make a point to like have our weekly conversations after we watched Grey's Anatomy.
Yes. Yeah, and then it like Grey's Anatomy stopped. And it was like, okay, when are we gonna chat?
I know. Yeah. Yeah. We had to find time and find ways to talk. And it was just like, it was like, we knew that we had to talk, but it wasn't like a, oh, we need to talk because Grey's Anatomy had just come out. So we got to watch the show, but we were just like, oh, we'll talk. I mean, we have to make a time.
It worked out well. And like, we have our Snapchat streak. So
we do.
What I like to tell people is like, yeah, like we might not talk every day, but like, I send my morning snap so they know I'm still alive.
Yes. Because, and then when you came back, when you came back this year, I was telling Judith, I was like, wow, we've talked to Rachel so much. She's like, yeah, because she's in the same time zone. And I'm like, oh, of course. That makes a whole lot of sense.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we're not 7 or 6 or 4 hours apart.
I know. And you're not sleeping when we're awake and we're not sleeping when you're awake.
Right. Right. Or working.
Or working. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. So is there any advice or anything you'd like to say to anyone who might be listening that might want to try being a missionary at some point, or you know, if they wanted to start right now and you're just like, this is the best time to do it, or you know?
Yeah, so I would say find an organization. There's so many, so do your research. I was lucky to, like, the family was already a part of one, so I just joined this organization. But like, you have the opportunity to search and see. And really embrace what they teach you. It's helpful. I got a whole binder. And when I left, I was like, I don't need to bring this with me. It will be fine. I don't have space. And then I was like, I want some of this information. I think it was sitting in my car at Judith's house.
Oh yeah.
And so sometimes I text her and I was like, can you just look in here and tell me this? Also, don't delay on vaccines. Sometimes they won't have what you need.
Yeah.
So the sooner the better, just to make sure they have what it is that you need. And then try to get to know where you're going. Learn about where you're going. The biggest thing that my organization like drilled into my head was don't have any expectations. That's what really, I don't want to say ruins it, but like makes it difficult because you go into this culture and you're like, I'm going to be living in a sandy, deserty area with no electricity or lights. And I mean, this could be like worst case scenario, right? Like,
yeah.
And so like, you can be expecting that. And then you get there. And I'm like, oh, I'm living in a house and I have power all the time, which is not always the case. But the first year there I did.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, if you don't have expectations, then you won't be disappointed.
Right.
So go with an open mind is the biggest takeaway.
Yeah, that's important. That's very important, especially because when you go with all of those preconceived notions, and then you get there and then you will get disappointed if it's not everything that you were thinking of or what you were dreaming of. When I went on my mission trips, I don't think I had any kind of like idea of what I was really walking into, and I didn't, my trip is nothing in comparison to yours. Like I really just went for like a few like a week, maybe a little bit more than a week. I learned about different schools. I learned about churches that were in rock, like it was in the caves. There was like cave churches and things like that. There was castles and stuff. So like I remember, or like I've retained all that information. It's been 15 years, I think, now.
High school? Were you in high school?
I was. I was in high school, yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's just, like what I learned, I felt like I was more of a student. Just that was just kind of learning, and just it was kind of like a, what's that thing in college where people take like a, they go and learn in another.
Oh, abroad.
Yeah, it was kind of, it kind of felt like I was just learning abroad. I was just studying abroad for a week, and I was able to just walk with a certain group, and we all learned about the same things together, took pictures of things together. And I helped one particular school. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it was just like something easy and simple. Mm-hmm. So I took whatever information I knew, and then I came back to the States, you know?
Nice. Yeah.
So just like for you and your, the way that you fully embraced it and just like, I'm going to Africa, and you've been talking about going to Africa for years, and you're just like, I'm finally doing it. And then you did it and you fell in love because you knew that that was something that you wanted to do, which is absolutely awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah.
The difference between short-term and long-term, mm-hmm. there's like so many differences because mm-hmm. I've done a couple short-term trips.
Yeah.
And you kind of, you go with this goal mm-hmm. and that's it. Like, you're like, okay, I'm going. I have no time to have jet lag. I just need to do like what I'm there to do. And then I come back mm-hmm. and it's like a whole whirlwind of stuff, usually with like a day to be a tourist.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas long term, Justine said this to me. She's like, what some people don't realize is we're not going to be out there preaching the gospel or ministering or whatever mm-hmm. every day of our lives. We, like, this is our home and we have to make it our home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the difference. Like, you really get to settle in. You get to form close relationships with right. others and like establish a routine. It's like when I moved from Connecticut to New York,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
except it's just halfway across the world.
Yeah, it is. It's just like you gotta, but I know that you're a planner anyway, so you just like, you do routines really well. You have, you know, been able to be flexible. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks.
Very proud of you. But I'm saying, like, you know, you have like a mindset. You're like, all right, well, I know what I'm gonna do. At least for the most part, you knew what you were gonna do every day, and that was very helpful on your for you, right? Like, just
yes, paper calendar is my best friend. Besides you guys, of course.
What to say? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, almost came second to a paper calendar. Oh my gosh.
I can talk to you. My calendar doesn't talk to me.
I mean, you know, it might tell you things.
I don't know. Yeah, it tells me where I'm going and when, but it doesn't really give me advice.
No, I don't think it could. Unless you bought those kinds of calendars that have little word advice every day.
That's true. No, mine's just decorated with flowers.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, thank you again for coming on the show. I wanted to quickly, because for my listeners, want to dive in just a little bit more about our relationship and how we met, because I think it's a funny story. I think it's an awesome story. It was how many years ago?
Oh, where's Judith? Judith.
Well, how many years have I known Rachel? You don't know.
Did you know me?
Well, I met you and then I met Rachel.
Yeah,
I met
it's
you and then I
13
met Rachel.
years that we've known each other.
13 for
Yeah.
us? Okay, so
13
13,
for
so
Judith and Keone.
yeah.
So, and you guys met at camp.
We met at camp, yeah.
And then did Keone come up with you that same summer, or would it have been like?
In the fall, she came for fair.
I did come
Oh,
up in the
okay.
fall for the
So
fair,
I guess
but I feel
it's
like I've
new here in 2010.
I have not moved. I had not moved to New York then.
Yeah, so
So
she
if it
must
was
have met you at the fair.
in 2010,
Did you come to the fair? Do you remember the
I
fair?
always go to the
It
fair.
was a different fair. We went to the Chester fair because you were here earlier
Yeah, I came like
in August.
before Labor Day, around Labor Day, and then we went on the
Oh,
boat.
I just assumed it was the Labor Day fair. I
I don't
feel like
know.
I did meet you because I was living in
She
Connecticut
did, because
still.
we have the pictures at Gillette Castle with
We
Rachel
do.
and Yeah. Okay,
Jim
okay,
Messer.
okay.
Okay.
That was the same
So I did
summer.
meet you. So it will be 13 years in
Woo,
August.
woo, 13 years, y'all.
Lucky number 13.
I was like, wait, Gillette's Castle.
Gillette's Castle, right.
Classic. Bring your besties to Gillette's Castle.
Take
Classic,
awkward photos on the
show
train
her like
tracks.
our East Haddam.
Yeah. Historical.
Historical fake places in Connecticut.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, so, okay. It's funny because the story of us meeting isn't that funny, but us remembering that we did meet each other is pretty
It
funny.
just, it's been so long. It's like,
It
I don't even
has.
remember, to be
I
honest. Good thing
know.
Judith's here.
Good thing.
Thanks.
Good thing. Because yeah, we met and then we realized that our birthdays were the same number
Yeah.
and we loved the same color. And we watched Grey's Anatomy and we just like everything was flowing out like, oh yes, okay. I was like, how are you and Judith friends? Because y'all don't have nothing in common. But it was like, I'm just kidding.
We went to the same school.
You guys went to
We
the same
grew
school.
up basically next to each other. We were super cool and would call each other and then turn on our walkie-talkies to talk.
Because that's how cool we are.
Yeah, I know. I think
We
that
are that cool, by
yeah,
the way.
yeah, we are.
Well, yes, you're still that cool. I think that it's pretty funny that you guys did that. You did calling on the phone and calling on
We call
walkie-talkies
each other on the phone to tell each other to turn the
to
walkie-talkie
talk, turn the
Well,
walkie-talkie on.
because I only had the charger,
Ah,
so
trying to save the battery.
right, we couldn't waste
She
the
had to
battery.
save the battery. Oh my goodness. So, but my point was is that you called to tell each other to put on the walkie-talkie, and now today in this day and age, we talk to each other on Instagram, we talk to each other on Snapchat, we talk to each other on WhatsApp, we talk to each other on Instagram. Did I say that already?
Yeah, iMessage.
We talk to each other on iMessage,
What else?
and
So many
there's
things.
so many other things. And then we're all having different conversations because that's just how best friends roll. There's so many
Yeah, like you
different
the other
things.
day.
Well, I was talking to myself in the
You
group
were.
chat,
Yeah, you were. You were
apparently.
like the squirrel on the side
Listen,
that
I thought that I could just chime in with a note and then y'all were just talking about something else completely different. That's not my fault.
It was hysterical.
Y'all were like, "What are you talking about? Who are you talking to?" And I was just like, I was making comments because we talked about this one thing and then I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
Oh goodness. Anyhow, like I was saying, we've known each other for a really long time, and I'm just really glad that you were able to come on the show on KD Time. Do you have or would you want people to find you on social media so they can get to know you a little bit more? Or, you don't have to because you can keep that private life to yourself if you want to. But if you did, how would you plug yourself?
Cool. Yeah. Well, so okay. My Instagram is like super private just because I post pictures of kids and stuff. So I try to keep it really limited onto who I friend or who I
Yes.
accept.
Yeah.
So honestly, if I don't know you, I won't accept you. So I just won't even offer my Instagram handle to you. And that then no sense. One has to be offended.
There you go. That makes sense. Well, that is it for this episode. I'm very grateful and thankful that you were able to come on. Is there any other tidbits you'd like to share before we go?
My fun fact that I got to share today. A group of hippos is called a raft. I know. It's part of my fun fact Friday. So, you know, but you can just.
Today's Thursday.
We were talking about the world's most dangerous animals at church this morning.
Hippo is definitely the world's dangerous
and
animal.
And so I was like, let me share a fun fact with you. A group of hippos is called a raft. And so.
I don't even know how that makes sense. Is it because you could ride on top of them?
Oh, do not ride on top of a hippo. They're dangerous.
I think I should have you back on the show to talk about different groups of animals and how silly it sounds. I'll have to do some research for you,
but yeah.
And then we'll have Judith on officially because she's just kind of in our background.
She is. She, at one point laughing with her head against the wall.
I'm not 100% sure that my microphone can hear you, so, you know, you gotta...
About to find out!
As you increase your decibels.
As she increases her volume. All right, well, thanks again. I am signing off now. Whoop, whoop. Well, thank you all very much for listening to this episode. I really do appreciate it. I really hope that you learned something about what it was like for her as a missionary and what it could mean for you if you're looking into that kind of work. It's a really positive and enriching experience to go and do work with other people outside of the country that you're living in and just be there and love on people and show them who you are and that we are all here for the same collective reason, which is to make life a better place for all. So I'm really grateful that she came on the show, and I hope that you guys enjoyed the episode. If you loved what you heard and if you want to hear more, please subscribe to the show. It helps with me to know that I'm actually doing something that is worth listening to, and I also just like the feedback. I love being able to share what I'm learning and what I'm talking about with everyone else, and I just love that about podcasting in general. So if you love what you heard, please share it, subscribe to it, share it with your friends, share it with your family, and of course, as always, on the next episode, I'll have another special guest on the show. And this one, I was on his show a little while back. His name is Jonah, and we on his show, we kind of just talked about a whole bunch of different things. And then he was so graciously accepting to come onto my show, and we talked about our top 10 movies for the year 2013. It's been 10 years. And we talked about these movies, and it was such a great and fun talk about all of these movies. And some of the things that we had on our list were common, and then we talked about a lot of different things. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up on the very next episode. Once again, I thank you for listening, and you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at KDTimePodcast. And I will catch you guys on the next one. Deuces!